Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, planet Earth. It's almost 8:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time in the great state of Utah. Can you hear it? The toll, the talk is tolling the time, the clock is talking the chime. Can you hear it? The bell that rings. It's telling you it's time to wake up from your cognitive slumber. Get up. Because it's May the 27th, 2021. But if you're listening on shortwave radio, 5950 kilohertz, WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee, from the swamp from which the beast with 17 arms and 17 legs and 17 tongues and 17 busty dancers dancing a dance of seduction. As the great beast arises from the swamps of Florida, to regain the beast position in the world, to control all the slumbic whores and the Heglamite witch clan and the lesbian astronauts flying in their spaceships. Lesbian astronauts, all of them. And it is your good friend Dan, and like I said, this is Thursday, but it could be Saturday night or Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because this podcast is also broadcast from WRMI. But this morning is May the 27th, and the first thing I ask you to think about is outer space. Imagine outer space, brothers and sisters. Picture the majestic nature of outer space. Imagine you were launched into space as a child, traveling in a spaceship at 25% the speed of light. Imagine you're heading towards Barnard's star. You're heading towards Barnard's star at 25% the speed of light. Your rocket ship is so powerful. Your rocket ship is so sleek. You will arrive in time for monkey dinner. You'll arrive for the monkey festival on planet Boblimdoc. You'll arrive just in time. Can you hear the bell? Can you hear the tower? Can you hear the church? There goes Quasimodo. Imagine outer space for a second, my friends, and think about this. In the roughly 60 years since Americans and Russians and others have been dancing in low Earth orbit, in the roughly six decades, less than 600 people total. I don't mean trips, okay? You can tell me that a couple of these people went to space 20 times. That's not my point. In the 60 years since we've quote-unquote been to space, less than 600 people have been to space. Imagine if the Wright brothers, and I don't know, like 19-aught Boblimdoc, 1902, 1905, imagine if the Wright brothers had done what they did. And then in the year, let's say 1970 or 80, less than 600 people had flown in a plane. Would you believe it? Okay? Would you believe that people could fly in planes if after 60 frickin' years, less than 600 people had flown in a plane? I'm not telling you this proves anything. I think it's weird. I think it's weird for lots of reasons. It's weird because I run into a lot of technophiles and techno-utopians, especially in the crypto crowd, who want to tell me how super advanced everything is. But I remember the friggin' metro bus stop signs that told you the schedule from 2 years earlier, not for today. And I recall the fact that less than 600 people have been to space. Less than. Okay, 556, if you're to believe the Wikipedia article. I don't know if I believe it. 556 people. Statistically, 556 people out of 8 billion is kind of like saying something never happened. Or let me put this another way. Imagine if 600 people said they saw the Lord Jesus return. I'm serious. They were standing on some holy site, someplace in the world, and they saw the Lord Jesus return. Let's say it's 600 people exactly. No more, no less. No cameras, really. And if there were cameras, you can say the same thing about these cameras that you would say about the SpaceX cameras, and that it looks like really, really good CGI. So fine, there might be cameras, but you still only have 600 witnesses. Would the human race believe it? Would the atheists and the mockers and the gawkers and the shockers, would the media and the politicians believe the 600 people out of 8 billion if they said they witnessed the return of Christ? This is a hypothetical, brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about a real event. But think about outer space. How real could it be if statistically, from a probability perspective, you're more likely to be a billionaire? Think about this. You are more likely to be a billionaire than you are to have ever or will ever go to outer space. I like those odds. The basic odds of space, if we talk about running totals, simple probability. And listen, you can get into more advanced Bayes models, I don't care, but I seriously doubt you're going to find the odds of space to be better than that of being a billionaire. I seriously doubt it. Way more likely that you're a billionaire than you ever, ever, ever went to outer space. Meditate and think on this, brothers and sisters, because if space were all that, if technology were all that, if the, Virgin Galactic Project and the X Prize weren't some type of psyop, billionaires would be going to space right now. Billionaires would be going to orbit. If your counter argument is they don't want to go there, well, then space sounds pretty stupid. Space sounds boring. You're telling me billionaires who have to do massive amounts of cocaine and drink adrenochrome and murder kids because they're so freaking bored, but there's no way they'd ever want to go to the moon or Mars or anywhere in space. That's your argument. That's a really dumb argument. It really is. And I know you're, Dan, are you a flat earther? No, I believe in God, and God is not a liar. There is nothing in the Bible that tells us the astrophysical specifics about the Earth. If you say, well, isn't there a line about standing on the edge of the circle of the world? Yes. And you could interpret that in a couple different ways, brothers and sisters. You can interpret that that passage from the Bible as meaning the earth is a sphere, and you can interpret that passage from the Bible meaning the earth is a round, flat plane. And I gotta say, God bless you if you've taken a side in this great ramshackle debate of bizarreness, whatever. All I know is God is not a liar. God's not a liar. God is not the demiurge. I am a Christian, not a Gnostic. God does not go through the world making false things true and true things false. Now, there will be a gentleman coming soon, I think. There's a gentleman coming soon, I think. He'll be in his 30s, they say. And he'll probably arrive on a galactic spaceship. He'll be, well, people will call him Spaceship Jesus. But he'll be no more real than BMW Jesus or Hookup Jesus or 2 a.m. on Sunday morning watching digital channel 22.3 and Benny Hinn Jesus. Space Cruiser Jesus is going to be the Antichrist, and he will show up and he'll talk about space. Believe me, he'll talk about space. He will make true things false, or at least try to. He will try to make false things true. This is the Antichrist. As of right now, I think there's a 50% chance that we're in that time. And as of right now, I think there's a better than 50% chance that the Antichrist is going to be some type of space alien hybrid. It kind of explains all this, disclosure nonsense, which is funny. Because when you think about the book of Revelation and what Revelation is, and you think about this disclosure myth, in many ways, the disclosure myth is an inversion of Revelation. In many ways, the mythology of disclosure is the satanic Bible's version of the book of Revelation. One day soon, we'll know the truth. One day soon, Spaceship Jesus will arrive. One day soon, Spaceship Jesus will tell us how we all came from Planet 32 in Sector 8 of the Hooker Galaxy. One day soon, we'll live on the moon. We'll drink champagne. We'll do cocaine. One day soon, Spaceship Jesus will arrive on a starship at the speed of light. Next topic, buddy. Next topic. Cattle truck. Last night I was out for a walk. It was one of these Utah nights where you can see all the monsters of the hills staring out at you from the high desert. Last night I went for a walk and the tumbleweeds and the dust and the street rats and the skyhawks were my shepherds. Last night I went for a walk. I went down near Rockies across the street from the dollar store. I saw a cattle truck right around 9:30 p.m. It was covered in lights like it was Christmas Day. These lights were red mainly. Red and scary. These lights were red and scary. Thank you. Yeah, so this cattle truck was out there in the parking lot, and it looked empty. It had a, it looked ostentatious. It looked over the top, like if a demon were driving a cattle truck. It's the kind of cattle truck a demon would drive. The kind of cattle truck a demon would drive. It had these bullhorns on the front of it, fixed to it. Fine, you could say that's a cowboy thing. Cowboy up, Dan. That's what cowboys do. But the feeling I got looking at that infernal truck was it was empty, but it was waiting. Kind of like watching a documentary about a saltwater crocodile that sits in the pond somewhere in Australasia, somewhere, yeah. Have you gotten any news from Australia lately? Tell me the news from Australia because it sounds like shit's still pretty fucked up down there. Oh, Dan, you said the F-bomb. You know what? I'm sure the FCC will sue me. I'm sure they will come after me, but at this point, I'm not really concerned about the FCC or the mayor of Washington, D.C. That's what I call President Biden. The sense I had of the cattle truck is it was empty, but it was waiting to feed, like a saltwater crocodile lurking in a pond someplace in, Western Australia, lurking somewhere in the outback. Lurking in the outback, waiting for some, unsuspecting hiker to walk by and say hello, crocodile. That cattle truck looked like a crocodile waiting to feed. And then I went to the Schlimbus store. I went to the Schlimbus store and I got my Strongulac and my protein cube. I went to the Schlimbus store. I got my Strongulac. I got my protein cubes. I got my 2.5 liters of purified water. I was walking home, and some grackle, some crow, some pigeon with rabies and tumors all over it whispered in my ear and said, "Something is about to be born." Something's about to be born. Can you hear it? Can you hear the birth pains in the distance? Next topic. I don't know, guys. I don't know the meaning of the cattle truck. The feeling I got was is pretty soon trucks like that'll be showing up in lots of places. And if you're thinking, well, they're going to take you to the FEMA camps? No. No, your FEMA camps and your other crapola is designed to make you feel a lot better than you should. You just keep gripping onto your Stockholm syndrome, Mr. and Mrs. America. You just keep gripping hard on that Stockholm syndrome, on the psyop du jour. Whatever it is, the race war, cartoonists are racist, the monkey herpes COVID psyop, the Wuhan monkey herpes Chinese communist crap, whatever Russia fear you have, whatever ridiculous edict the mayor of Washington, D.C. has issued, Joe Biden. You keep holding on to your Stockholm syndrome like it's an old charm. Like some ancient religious charm that if you just rub it a little harder, you won't have to think about the truth. That's my suggestion. Your delusions are fantastic. Your delusions are fantastic. And they keep you warm at night. They keep you warm, America. You want to stay warm. Next topic. So in philosophy, many philosophers come up with a lot of strange theories, conjectures, thought experiments. Sometimes these are useful, like Buridan's ass, which refers to not the buttocks, but to a donkey making a choice concerning free will. If given two options that are equally the same, what will the donkey do? And if you're a determinist, in theory, the donkey just dies. Because if the options are equivalent according to the rule and whatever of determinism, ceteris paribus, the donkey must die. The donkey can't make a choice because both bowls of gruel are equally the same. Thank you, B.F. Skinner. There's also another conjecture, and it's called Hanlon's Razor. Hanlon's Razor. This one's a favorite of mine. Now, you might say, Dan, why do you like Hanlon's Razor as a philosopher? Because it's bullshit. It's crap. It's complete dreck. The reason why Hanlon's Razor exists is because there are sociopaths. Okay? Hanlon's Razor is what a sociopath wants you to believe. Here's a quote for you. Why attribute to evil what you can attribute to a little mistake? That's a quote from Ted Bundy. No Hitler. No Stalin. No B.F. Skinner. No Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci. Hanlon's Razor. They didn't mean it, but your friend is still dead. Anthony Fauci. The mask wearers didn't mean it, but your friend still hung himself late that night. Hanlon's Razor is what people who do terrible things want you to believe. They want you to believe that the most likely explanation is simply an error, a mistake, ignorance, stupidity, incompetence. I'm going to tell you that that's probably crap, but that's exactly what a sociopath would want you to believe. Oh, that was just a mistake. Anthony Fauci made a mistake. The people wearing masks and telegraphing to children to wear masks who would sometimes wear the mask in the hot sun and die. Well, that was just an accident, Dan. That was a mistake. No, what if the opposite is true and way more scary? What if, yeah, people make mistakes? Yeah, people are imperfect and they do dumb stuff. But what if in reality the most likely explanation in almost every case is evil? Because the thing about making mistakes is often it's the result of evil. It's the result of disregard. It's the result of a lack of respect. It's the result of taking your life, or worse really, the lives of others for granted. What if Hanlon's Razor is crap? That's my proposal to you. And while we're on the topic of stupid sociopathic mind games, let's talk about the trolley problem. We'll talk about that one again. Dan, if given a choice between killing a busload of people or running over a hobo... If given a choice between crashing an airplane of people or saving some old person from COVID... You see, the types of sociopaths that give you Hanlon's razor are also the types of sociopaths that convince you that the trolley problem is a real thing. Rather, it's sociopathic sophistry. The trolley problem is about as realistic as 556 people out of 8 bablillion going to space, and you believe space is a thing. Maybe, but I think space is more realistic than the trolley problem. Here's the deal. There is no such thing as a constrained experiment in free will. Even the pigeon, even the rat that's in a Skinner box being slowly tortured to death has a choice. And ultimately, the rats and the pigeons made choices. Now, from B.F. Skinner's perspective, he thought they were quitters when they simply keeled over and died because they gave up. Did you know that a lot of pigeons and a lot of rats in those experiments simply died? I mean, they just died. They didn't want to participate. They got slowly shocked to death. They simply gave up. Great job, BF. Did you mark those down in your science textbook? Here's the thing about the situation you find yourself in. Hanlon's razor feels good because then you don't need to worry about your functionally sociopathic neighbors. And when I say functionally sociopathic, I don't mean genetically sociopathic. I mean ultimately people that, because of public education, because of no contact with God, really, no prayer, no spirituality, I mean that probably half your neighbors would turn on you and kill you for your food, your water, and your shelter once all of that ran out. Hanlon's razor sounds way better, doesn't it? It's not evil, Dan. It's incompetence. The people who are going along and getting along, wearing the masks and getting the vaccinations and parroting the lies that are actually killing people, the lies that are leading to hopelessness and suicide, they're not evil, Dan. They're just stupid. But what if I told you something that will even blow your mind further? Evil has always been stupid.
Oh, what, really, Dan?
Yeah, basically. Stupid. There is no end game with evil. You don't win with evil. Not in God's world. Short term, maybe. Maybe you die in your sleep like Joseph Stalin. These things do happen. But if you think Joseph Stalin got out, you know, without any scuffs because he died in his sleep, think again. Evil is stupid. Evil is a waste. Evil, in its purest form, is simple destruction, simple erasure, simple cancellation. Evil is the opposite of wisdom and enlightenment. Evil is stupid. Hanlon's razor is stupid because of that as well. Evil is dumb, brothers and sisters. And guess what? You can be the smartest guy at the wax factory, like Bill Gates. You can be the most intelligent scumbag at MIT or Harvard, like some Anthony Fauci jerk. But you're still a frickin' idiot. So in 2010, I had a conversation with a healthcare professional at a level one trauma center in Seattle. And if you have the ability to perform deduction, you should be able to figure out which hospital that is. In November of 2010, I had a conversation about something called Microsoft Amalga. Microsoft Amalga was this quote-unquote clinical data repository that was more or less forced on hospitals as a part of the Obama 2009 stimulus package. And when I say forced, I mean taxpayers paid for this train wreck, and then taxpayers were forced to implement it at places like this level one trauma center, except for Microsoft Amalga in 2010 was a basket case. It was really terrible software. It had provable polynomial time costs for searching a 250 terabyte database. In simple English, that's called stupid, which actually, again, in this context, evil, but stupid. I had a conversation with a healthcare professional. I said, healthcare professional, Microsoft Amalga is causing two things. One, the infectious disease reports to be inaccurate, and two, they come out late, which means they're supposed to come out at 6 a.m. to tell the nurses, don't stick Grandma Filipino, Grandma Philippa, I don't know, I didn't mean Filipino, I meant, what's a good name for a woman? Frankie? Don't put Grandma Philepsua, no, Grandma, don't put Grandma Francis in little Bobby's Mercer room. That's right, don't put Grandma Francis in little Bobby's Mercer room. That's multi-resistant staphylococcus. That's a flesh-eating bacteria that will kill you, especially if you're an elderly patient, especially if it's post-op, post-operation. This healthcare professional said they don't matter. This healthcare professional that's probably been going around Seattle telling people to wear two or three masks said, Grandma Francis doesn't matter. We do not care if she goes in the little Bobby's Mercer room by accident. Now, was that ignorance or was that evil? I need you to tell me, because this person had a PhD, an MD, had a very high up position in a major university medical center and authority at this level one trauma center. So you could argue these healthcare professionals are incompetent. Bing, bing, bing. Then you get back to the COVID. Why do you listen to them? On the other hand, maybe they're not incompetent. Maybe they're just evil, which also means stupid. Hanlon's razors crap, my friends. Philippa, that's what I wanted to say. Grandma Philippa. I did not mean Filipino in any racial sense. If you think so, go beat bricks. Next topic. So I have to periodically revisit something called the reset, because periodically in social media or via email, I'll get a comment about the secret cabal that's been around forever, running things forever. And what's really great about these weird emails is that they're often from people who call themselves libertarians or anarchists or Austrians, people who logically have been through the process of proving themselves why government fails. And yet, at the same time, they believe in these super state organizations that never fail. This is a problem, brothers and sisters. This is a contradiction. If you want to understand the reset, understand someone like Mayor Jenny Durkin. And I've spoken about Mayor Jenny Durkin of Seattle before. The thing about Mayor Jenny in this context is she must believe she's protected. She must believe there's a golden parachute at the end of this nightmare. The only reason why I would think a loser like Mayor Jenny Durkin would stay at the post, the only reason I could ever see her staying there is because she believes in the reset. She thinks at some point in the next few months or years, she will ascend to her position in whatever global governance committee exists. She'll get her payoff. She'll get her condo, wherever it is. This is something you have to believe. So when you think about the reset, it absolutely serves a purpose. It serves the purpose of keeping the governors and the mayors at their posts. The crypto people, let me tell you about the crypto people. The crypto people must believe. They have to believe in the reset, because if they don't believe in the reset, then that means whatever money they're making off of crypto, it ain't gonna last, brothers and sisters. The reset is the opposite of the collapse. It really is. If you think the collapse is a thing, the reset is the opposite. The reset is an argument that the new world government is about to arrive. But the problem is, we've had the reset since 1945. So it's a bit ridiculous. Someone says there's going to be a reset. I said, no, buddy. It happened already. It happened. We've been living in reset land for my entire lifetime. We've been living in one world government douchebag land for my entire lifetime. This COVID-19 monkey herpes psyop would have been impossible if not for reset land. Crypto folks need to believe in reset land because they need to believe the electricity will stay on. But at the same time, as I pointed out, crypto folks will say things like, there is nothing more superior to decentralization. Decentralization is superior, of which I agree. But then why do you believe in this weird, infinitely powerful global super state cabal, crypto man? Pick a fucking side, okay? Either the crypto is crap, right? Or this weird global state cabal is crap. But you really can't argue that decentralization is superior while at the same time saying this highly centralized super state's been around forever. Those ideas do not work together. They really don't. The other problem I have with the reset, and I brought this up, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the reset, but I figure I'll just beat a dead horse a little more. The other problem with the reset is that what's happening right now is not problem, reaction, solution. What's happening right now is they've broken it. It's kind of like when people say the glass is half full, the glass is half empty. The glass is broken. The glass is not half full. The glass is not half empty. It is shattered on the floor. People are beginning to drop dead from adrenal fatigue. The true believers are dropping dead from adrenal fatigue. At some point, a nuclear engineer at some boiling water reactor is going to go crazy from adrenal fatigue. You don't build on this. This is not problem, reaction, solution. This is demolition. This is destruction. This is the wholesale vaporization of whatever civic life existed prior to 2020. That's what this is. What are you building on but graves? What are you building on but cemeteries? And if your definition of the reset is a giant cemetery, then fine. But brothers and sisters, there's a lot of stuff you have to turn off before you head to your condo in Antarctica. You need to scram, and that's basically where you fully insert the control rods. You need to scram all the hundreds of reactors on planet Earth. And then once you scram them, you still need to do a cold shutdown. Brothers and sisters, do you know how long that takes? Because if you don't do a cold shutdown, here's what can happen. This is what happened at Fukushima. You see, at Fukushima, they did scram their reactors. They did fully insert their control rods, but they lost the ability to circulate cold water. What does that mean? That means slowly, over a few hours, the control rods melted. And so once the control rods melted and there's no cool water circulating at that point either, the reactor begins to superheat, the water boils off, the reactor melts through the bottom of the containment vessel, and you get China syndrome, aka Fukushima. That's what you get. And you get that all over the planet Earth. And folks, We've really trashed the Pacific Ocean with Fukushima. What do you think 300 Fukushimas is going to do? So go ahead and tell me the reset is just killing everybody and heading to a bunker. But you better have a lot of food, Bunker Man, Archie Bunker. You better have a lot of food, Archie Bunker. You better have a lot of energy and a lot of water because you're going to be down there a long time. When all those hundreds of reactors cook off, and they will, and it won't take more than a few weeks once they're abandoned. Once all those reactors cook off, you won't be able to return to the surface of the Earth for a while. Okay? Not unless you want to get cancer. Archie Bunker. Mr. Reset. So yeah, I'm talking about the reset again because I feel like people are... I don't know how to put it. I almost feel like the human race, Americans, have reached a point where they would rather tightly grip their Stockholm syndrome, their lies, their deceptions, their psyops. They would rather go to bed at night with their preferred psyop than face the truth. And the truth is this, folks, we don't know for sure what is coming. All we can know for sure is that they're lying. The truth is, this is some of the biggest lying I've ever seen, but I'm only 51. And based upon reading a couple history books, I would contend these are the biggest lies in human history. Oh, damn, that's crazy. No, it's not. In terms of scale, in terms of quantity, in terms of quality, these are the biggest, fanciest taxpayer lies ever. So what are they hiding? It's not the reset. It's not the monkey herpes. It's not the race war. They're not hiding the fact that cartoonists are racist. Get real. They're not hiding the fact that people have weird issues around sexuality. Get real. They're not hiding the issue that Ellen Page is Elliot Page. Wake up. Get real. What are they hiding? That is the question. That's the only question. But instead, people hold on to their Stockholm syndrome, they hold on to their psyops, they hold on to their confusion like it's a, I don't know, like it's a rag doll, like you're an 8-year-old kid going to sleep at night with Mr. Friggles. Let go. Philippa. I did not mean Grandma Filipino, but I'm sure I'm going to get a call about the couple F-bombs. I'm sure I'll get an email. And if you want to email me, if you're listening to me on shortwave radio, and you very well could be, if you're listening on shortwave radio, this could be 5950 kilohertz, WRMI out of Miami, Saturday or Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, likely. If you're listening on shortwave radio, the notes for this broadcast podcast can be found by going to dfgtc.org/shownotes. dfgtc.org/shownotes. And if you want to contact me and tell me you're upset about the F-bombs I used or the fact that I question your Stockholm syndrome, Mr. Friggles, that's fine. If you need your COVID herpes Stockholm syndrome to go to sleep at night because you really don't want to confront the reality that you're being lied to on a monumental scale, that's fine. Embrace your Stockholm syndrome. Send me a nasty email. That's me@iamsully.com. me@iamsully.com, and you can get angry and nasty, and you can send me a picture of your penis or vagina. Next topic. Susan Wojcicki. Wojcicki. I don't even know how you say that. I'm going to read an article here. It's from Newsweek. It was published on 420. Wow, 420. We all know what that is. In Newsweek.com, and you can get to this link going to the notes, and the notes, if you're on shortwave, are dfgtc.org/shownotes, as stated. Headline, YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki gets Freedom Expression Award, sponsored by YouTube, which is funny. This article was written by Christina Zhao on 420. YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki received a free expression award from the Freedom Foreign Institute in a virtual ceremony sponsored by YouTube, an online video platform owned by Google. On Thursday, YouTube creator Molly Burke presented Wojcicki with the accolade in a video shared to the platform. "I'm so excited to be here tonight to present Susan Wojcicki with the Free Expression Award. As the CEO of YouTube, Susan is facing some of the most critical issues around free expression today," Burke said. Wojcicki sat down for an interview during the online ceremony, during which she emphasized the importance of free speech and the role that YouTube plays in protecting it. Well, thank you, Susan. Thank you, Susan. Yeah. Oh, man. Thank you, Susan. And I read on. "I've just seen the real benefits that freedom of speech has, as well as representing people of all different backgrounds and all different perspectives, and the freedoms that we have, we really can't take for granted," she said. "We really have to make sure that we're protecting them in every way possible. I feel, because of my family history, a deep connection to those freedoms, and I'm very thankful for the freedoms that I have." The tech CEO also discussed the platform balancing people's right to free speech with protecting the community from harmful content. "We want to be able to have a diverse and open platform as possible and represent as many views as possible on the platform. But we also need to make sure there are limits," she said. "Since the beginning of YouTube, we've had community guidelines." Well, thank you, Susan. Anyways, I'm going to let you guys read the rest of this nonsense because it is total freaking nonsense. This is an award that YouTube sponsored and gave to the CEO of YouTube. If you can imagine anything more neo-Stalinist than that, brothers and sisters, please let me know. Now, why do I point out Susan Wojcicki and YouTube? Well, here's why. Because my YouTube account is about to be permanently banned. I have two community guideline strikes. One, which is vague and ambiguous, is because I bullied somebody in a podcast, but they never said how or why. And the other is because of medical misinformation, which I've never claimed to be a doctor, Susan. Are you stupid, Susan, or are you just evil? Seems like you've been shaving your snatch with Hanlon's razor. Yeah. A little bit of stubble. The crabs found a home alongside the herpes in Susan's snatch. Susan. Susan's a liar. Susan is a hypocrite. Susan believes in the reset. Now, we need to think on this one a bit. Somebody like Susan Wojcicki, who is getting the YouTube award for being the CEO of YouTube, just like the Stalin award. I think there was this award that Joseph Stalin sponsored. It was the Artist Award or something in the late 30s. And the winner, the first winner of the Stalin Artist Award was somebody who made a Soviet-style realist painting of Stalin giving them the award. Smooth move, Ruski. You see, that's about as real as Susan Wojcicki getting the Freedom of Expression Award. Susan, you're a liar, you're a cheat, you're a tyrant. You probably believe you have some safe position in whatever's coming. You're not going to believe me if you hear this, and you're probably not listening, and you probably wouldn't hear. Although this is shortwave, Susan, so you can ban me from YouTube, and I can be chased around the internet, but I have a couple ideas up my sleeve, Susan. And here's one of the ideas. A day is coming when your security won't show up for work. A day is coming when the electricity won't turn on for you, Susan, and that includes your own generators on your, well, whatever, your mansion estate. A day is coming when the internet that you believe in more than you believe in everything else will simply stop working. And I know you believe in the reset, Susan, because you're acting like a petty tyrant. But a time's coming, Susan, where no one will be there to protect you. I don't know if you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband. Whoever has to be around you, Susan, I feel sorry for them. By the way, it looks like you don't miss a meal. A time's coming, Susan, where you will miss a few meals. And you will find yourself alone. You will find yourself isolated and waiting for the magical helicopter. Weeks after your smart device runs out of electricity, you'll be waiting for the magical helicopter to take you to reset land. But it's not coming, Susan. And long before that moment happens, wherever you are, and I don't know if you live in San Francisco or Seattle or New York City or Patagonia, there is not a corner of this earth that the Lord in heaven does not see. And since I am convinced the Lord in heaven is not looking out for you, Susan, you won't be able to ask for his help, probably. You see, you won an award that's a lie, and you sponsor freedom. In reality, what you're sponsoring is tyranny. You censor and you control. You support pedophiles, but at the same time, people who simply want to talk about human dignity or the state of the environment as it actually is, well, we better ban them. No, Susan. A time is coming very, very soon where you will find yourself alone and surrounded by people who are hungry and angry and crazy, and no one from Reset Land will be there to protect you. You see, I might die of a stroke soon. I might have a heart attack. This world is tearing me apart. But I know how you will die, Susan. Horribly. But congratulations on your award, though. I mean, it was an award sponsored by YouTube Google, given to an employee of YouTube Google. So it is kind of neo-Stalinist crap, but congratulations on your award, Susan. Congratulations. You know what? When that moment comes and the peasants are surrounding you in that alley someplace, and you tell them, I'm CEO of YouTube, I'm Susan Wojcicki, and they don't even know how to pronounce your name either, you dummy. As you confront your mortality in that dark alley surrounded by 50 people, and they're not gonna sexually assault you, Wojcicki, they know you have herpes. No, they're probably just going to feed you to the pigs. But the problem is, Susan, the pigs won't eat you. Because even the disgusting pigs that will eat their own poop and eat a Frenchie that ate its own poop, even the most disgusting pig isn't going to eat you, Susan. Even the most disgusting pig you can imagine. Even the most vile pig you can imagine, Susan, isn't going to touch you. No, indeed, that pig will forgo its meal, it will forgo its soup, it will forgo its water, That pig will run towards knives instead of eating you, Susan. A day is coming when the petty tyrants who believe in the reset are going to find out the truth. And that doesn't mean it's a good day for us, brothers and sisters, but it does mean it's a bad day for them. Imagine Mussolini and his girlfriend hanging upside down, piano wire, throats slit like pigs, at an Italian gas station. That's what you should be thinking about, Susan and Jenny and Governor Inslee and Governor Cuomo. And I'm not going to say the mayor of Washington, D.C., because I think Biden already left the building. Well, you know, Joe Biden may have been a terrible person, but he's gone. Whatever weird skeleton sack is occupying the White House, whatever weird fungal mass calls himself the mayor of Washington, D.C., yeah, he's already done. But Kamala Harris and all these other folks who might believe in the reset, a day's coming, you're going to find out how much of a lie that is. You'll realize that you've been deluded mostly by your own conceit, mostly because it's not just that you're terrible, but you believe you're awesome. You believe, Susan, that you won the award that was created by YouTube because you're so awesome. No, Susan, you won the Stalin Award for art. And the real award's coming, Susan. The real award is coming for people like you and every other tyrant. The real award is coming when those incompetent cops that you guys send after poor people, they don't really work for free, Susan. They don't. Your security doesn't work for free. A day is coming when the worthless money in your pocket will be worth less than the food that some gangster will give them to take you out. Welcome to reality. Day is coming soon, folks. And I don't know, we're closing this thing out. We've got a minute or so left, and I'll just say to you that, yeah, this is the planetary status report, and this is your friend Dan. You know, pray. I think prayer works. Pray to the Lord Jesus for compassion. Pray for peace. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for your neighbors, even the sociopaths and the atheists. Pray for them. Prayer is powerful, and Jesus is infinitely kind. Yes, the justice of our Lord is real, okay? That's an absolute case. The justice of God is real and powerful, and the Lord in heaven has been known to get angry. But we can pray. We can be brave. We can confront the truth. We can look it in the face and say, truth, we are not afraid of you. We can let go of our Stockholm syndrome and let go of our psyops and let go of whatever magical little fear monkey keeps us warm at night. Throw it away. All we really know right now is we're being lied to, brothers and sisters. All we really know right now is we're being lied to on a monumental scale.